Good evening. It's 6 o'clock here in Stony Brook, New York. Welcome to the Natural Alternatives Hour on 90.1 and 107.3 around campus. Good evening, gentle listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Courtney Bozick. I'm one of the hosts here at Natural Alternatives. Now, those of you who are tuning in for The Healthy Planet, Bob DiBenedetto's show, Bob is enjoying a well-deserved rest. You know, Bob does do two shows a month. So tonight, we're going to be having our great friend and co-host, John Scardina, do his show. Tonight, his guest will be Shirley Way, a person who has devoted her life to alternatives to violence. So John and Shirley will be doing a deep dive into what that means. But before we start, gentle listeners, I want to remind you, it's our twice yearly radiothon. Now here at WUSB, you know it's community radio. None of the DJs are paid. We're all volunteers and we do it for love of our subject matter and the station. A lot of the DJs do contribute to Radiothon. I know I do, Captain Phil, so many others. I can't name them all, but we would encourage you to, if you're able, and we always say no donation is too small or too big, if you could possibly give us a donation. We only do this twice a year. Now, one of our big expenses is our transmitter, and some of you may recall that our transmitter broke, and that's why you weren't getting a good signal for a long, long time. It went out. So we really do need a new transmitter that's quite expensive, in the tens of thousands of dollars. I'll leave that to our engineer, Frank, to really quantify, but we can certainly use any donation you're able to give. I think the easiest way to donate is to go to WUSB.FM and just click on there and you'll see the donation page. You can also call the station. Regrettably, I do not have the number handy at this moment, but if you keep on tuning in, or maybe John has got that number handy when it comes on. But anyway, thank you so much for listening and take it away, John Scardina.
Hello. Hello, Courtney. Hello, everyone. Hoping all is well out there in Radio Land. We're really glad for this opportunity to talk tonight and glad that Bob DiBenedetto gets a night off, which is great for him as well. And by the way, I understand this is the 50th year of WUSB. My goodness, 50 years. That's just wonderful. Community radio is the way to go. Community is the way to go. That's why you're here. That's why we do this work together. And while I'm at it, I do have the phone numbers for you. If you want to donate by phone, the phone numbers are, get a pencil and paper, here it comes, 631-632-6901 or 1-800-632-9872. So there you have it. We'll remind you again partway through the show. This radiothon is important to keep WUSB on the air. I also want to dedicate this show to someone who was a classmate of Courtney's and a student of mine and a lifelong friend, our friend Dawit Zaleke, who passed away this fall. He was a person of peace. He was a community builder. He ran our community meetings at Oakwood Friends School, which is where I got to know Courtney from, and was just a gentle soul. And speaking of natural alternatives, Dawit was a senior administrator at the Nature Conservancy, and he ran land projects all across the USA and helped to preserve our natural environment. So I dedicate this to our dear friend Dawit today. All right, so tonight with my dear friend Shirley Way, talking about something, a program called the Alternatives to Violence Project. As we well know, violence is endemic in our society. Just this week, again, once again, we're reminded of the big stories, the big terrible stories, the stories of gun violence, the stories of mass killings. But also, I want to remind us of all the ways in which violence can infiltrate our daily environment, and the ways in which we communicate, and the ways in which we acknowledge one another on the street, and the ways in which we solve problems, and the ways in which we make choices with our pocketbooks, with our ballot, with our occupations, with our daily activities. We make choices that can help to promote the system of violence. So I want to talk tonight about this idea of the Alternatives to Violence Project. Before I get into the history of this project, and then with Shirley talking about the ways in which this project has worked in our lives and in the lives of many, many others, I just want to talk a little bit about the role of violence in my life. I grew up in a family that had domestic violence. I participated in domestic violence. I have watched domestic violence happen in a number of situations. It's like a virus. It's like catching a virus, and it gets inside of you, and it becomes, when you are triggered, a way in which you think you can make a difference, or a way in which you think you can solve a problem. And we have to unlearn that behavior, unlearn those impulses, and find a way, usually through community, to make better choices going forward. So that's really what the Alternatives to Violence Project, I'm going to use our initials, AVP, which is an easier way to say that. That's what it's all about. So here we go. Let me talk a little bit about the beginnings of AVP. Now, many of you might not be old enough to remember the Attica prison riots of 1971. Okay, on September 9th, 1971, after numerous attempts to change remarkably harsh conditions that were going on in the Attica State Correctional Facility in upstate New York, prisoners decided that they were going to riot, that they were going to have a protest against this. And they took 39 guards hostage. 4 days later, after a number of negotiations back and forth, after a set of demands were delivered, a number of people came in to try to negotiate how this worked. By the way, Courtney, you may not know this. One of the negotiators was Dana Jones' father, Clarence Jones. Do you remember Dana from Oakwood Friends School?
Absolutely. Yeah, I had met his father a number of times. His father later became famous as one of the founders of MTV.
That's Clarence. So Clarence was there. And if you, and I'm going to blank on the name of the book, but there's a book called Blood in the Water, which very much details the progression of events there. So at the time, Nelson Rockefeller was governor of New York. 4 days in, he decided to send armed guards into the prison. There were helicopters asking people to surrender, but the incarcerated people felt they had no place to surrender to. And then what happened was a lot of people were outside in the interior courtyard. There was shooting into the courtyard. 39 people died in that. Still the largest prison uprising and the largest death toll in the United States of America history. So after that, and with an understanding for people who were incarcerated that life on the inside was likely not to be getting better anytime soon through external means, there was a decision to start to look within. What is the role of violence in my life? What is the role of the decisions, the communication skills, the options I have as an individual? So in Greenhaven Prison, another prison in New York State, a group of incarcerated people, they had a great name. They were called the Think Tank. I've always liked that name. Decided to get together and to invite some local Quakers, a local Quaker group, to work with them and to develop a program. And the first workshop in 1995 happened at Green Haven Prison. So we have
1975.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm looking at that number right here, Shirley. Well, good, Shirley. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for chiming in. I'm looking at the number right here. No, that's good. And, you know, listeners out there, just want to let you know, we have three people with exposure and involvement with Quakerism. Courtney, I met at a Quaker school at Oakwood Friends School. Shirley, who is a, what we call in the business, get this right, Shirley, a birthright Quaker. Yes, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I'm a, what we call in the business, a convinced friend, because I got to Oakwood, met these wonderful people, and realized, yes, this is the way I want to live the rest of my life. So there's an interweaving of Quaker practice. And by the way, listeners, if you don't know much about Quakerism, Long Island was very, very instrumental in the spread of Quakerism in the New World. Okay. And the very first Quaker meeting in North America was at Matinecock, not very far from Stony Brook, 1671, the very first formally organized Quaker meeting. There's some people in Cape Cod and Sandwich that call themselves the first meeting, but they were not formally organized. So I'm going to weave this together because Quakers believe in peace and believe in the nonviolent solution of conflict. And so when the people in Greenhaven and people around the state that were trying to sort out, what do we do? How do we improve life within these facilities? They turned to Quakers for an opportunity to make this happen. And I realized, Courtney, I don't know that maybe this is a time, usually you give a little bit of a bio about me. Should we just pop that in there a little bit? Or
unfortunately, I'm on vacation and I couldn't print out Shirley's bio. Sorry, Shirley. I did read it. I was super impressed, as you will be too, gentle listeners.
Oh no, I'm confusing myself here. This is a fun show, listeners. We're really ad-libbing as we go. No, usually give a bio about John, about me.
Oh, sure. Yes. Well, John was my high school biology and ecology teacher. I'm an environmental scientist, so I was inspired by he and our other friend Carl Beard to become an environmental scientist. So I owe John a permanent debt of gratitude. John has a sterling education, of which he is quite humble. He was educated undergrad at Princeton, grad at Harvard. He spent his life first as a science teacher, and then moved on to guidance counselor. Is that what, the best way to put it?
School psychologist.
He's a musician. Okay. He does his own original music. You'll hear at the end of the show, and an all-around Renaissance man.
Well, heavens! Now that's quite something to live up to. You know what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to tie Shirley into this conversation, because there's a lot of things that we can discuss about AVP, you know, here. So let me tell you a little bit about Shirley, whom I've had the pleasure of getting to know through AVP and through our Quaker connections here. Shirley was, again, a birthright, raised a Quaker up in the Finger Lakes region of New York. She studied horticulture. Oh, no, we have two more Ivy League schools. This is just too many Ivy League schools.
Excited. You know? I'm excited about this.
Here we go. Horticulture at Cornell, right? And landscape architecture at Penn, which is where my daughter Hannah also got her master's in urban design, at the same school at Penn as Shirley went to. But then in 1997, Shirley went to Chiapas, Mexico. And if you remember, Chiapas was a real hotbed at that time in terms of rebellion against the state and human rights violations. She went with four Quaker women and at that time decided peace work was going to be her calling for life. In 1999, Shirley went to Pendle Hill. Now, Pendle Hill is an organization in Wallingford, Pennsylvania, where people get to take a year. It can be a whole year. It can be a half a year. Take some time. And with the guidance of people that are teachers there, but really everyone's a teacher and a student at Pendle Hill, they get to sort out what's next in their life, what's happening there. And I have lots and lots of fond memories as well, Shirley, of Pendle Hill. I've given workshops there. I've taken workshops there. My men's group used to meet there back in the 90s. So there we go. So Shirley went to Pendle Hill. For the word that we like to use as Quakers is discernment. You know, what is next for me? What am I doing with my life? In 2000, she went to Guatemala, lived there for 2 years. Entonces, vamos a hablar solamente en español. She studied Spanish there. She volunteered at an orphanage, okay? And then came back and began going to Auburn Prison, which is an upstate prison that had an Alternatives to Violence Project program. Okay. Now here's where it gets even more wonderful, and those great Quaker, you know, Quaker women who know how to misbehave the right way. In 2003, if you are out there and you have never heard of the School of the Americas, you have something that you need to learn about our government's involvement to suppress democracy and human rights in Latin America. So at Fort Benning, Georgia, ironically, Shirley, where my father was stationed during World War II, but that was probably long before School of the Americas, they had a school basically where they basically taught the military and the political leaders in these countries how to suppress their people. Oh my goodness. And then we wonder why people around the world don't like us. So for a long time, there was a presence there just to protest School of the Americas. And Shirley, you not only went down there to protest the School of the Americas, you went over the line, right? You trespassed, right? How would you say it?
We call it crossing the line. And I crossed several times, and previously it was not illegal. So this is a family affair. My uncle, my mom, it was a whole group of us that would go. And we would gather up college students here from Ithaca College in Cornell and go down to Fort Benning based in Columbus, Georgia. And crossing onto the base, because the school is housed on the base. And in an effort to call attention to the atrocities that were happening in Latin America due to the training that was offered at the school. And then it became illegal. Only that particular weekend when we held the vigil honoring the martyrs, the seven Jesuits and their housekeeper and her daughter in El Salvador who were killed in 79, I think, in November of 79. So we held the vigil every year on that weekend. And then it became illegal to cross, and then people started getting, so I'm one of more than 200 who have been incarcerated. I was incarcerated 3 months for that.
Incarcerated 3 months for exercising your right to protest on U.S. soil.
Yes.
Right up here in Danbury, Connecticut, correctional facility. There we have it. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And
that was an education. I recommend it, highly recommend it. Any kind of civil resistance, for there are several reasons to get to put yourself in that position of possible arrest, several reasons to protest, currently and always. It really offered me a whole new perspective, as you might imagine. And I had already been going into prison, an Auburn prison, doing AVP. And so I had some sense, but I really knew nothing because it's a totally different experience when you are the one being incarcerated. You're not a volunteer going in, you're actually held, and your well-being is determined in large part by the people who may or may not care about your well-being. And that is a real wake up.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And it wasn't Orange is the New Black, was it?
So actually the woman who wrote Orange is the New Black was incarcerated with me. And I appear in the book. The book is a good account. The book is excellent. The film is the TV series is a lot of exaggeration, but sure. But the book is accurate.
Wow. And you know, I didn't even realize. I mean, I've done a lot of AVP in El Salvador too, so we'll come back, we'll circle back to that. I'm going through getting through this lengthy biography here, great biography. It's wonderful. So then Shirley was involved with something called Friends Peace Teams. Now, Friends Peace Teams are vehicles for AVP workshops and other kinds of workshops to move into places around the world. And Shirley did work in Colombia, El Salvador, and Honduras. Now she's our office administrator, or basically she's our, she keeps AVP New York together. She communicates with us, she keeps us on track. We just had a great weekend in September up at Powell House, the Quaker Retreat House in upstate New York, planning for the next year, working on some ideas for our workshops. And since that's been fabulous, you've been doing that since 2008. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Keep going at it.
And then you're the outside coordinator for AVP at both Cayuga Prison and Elmira Prison as well.
Right.
So I won't ask you what you do in your spare time, but that's quite a bunch of good things. So Courtney, I'm just going to mention the radiothon, right? This is a good time to mention the radiothon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here we are, WUSB Stony Brook 90.1. 107.3 FM. Okay. And we just want to remind you, 50th anniversary of this radio station. Oh my goodness. Community radio works. Communities need to be connected. They need to have a way for their voices to be heard. That's what WUSB does for us. Okay. You can donate on the website, wusb.fm. You can donate by phone, 631-632-6901. Or you can donate on toll-free, 1-888-632-9872. So just a reminder, as our radiothon progresses until the beginning of December, we do need a new transmitter. So there's some big expenses out there, and we would love your support to do that. Okay, before I get engaged with Shirley once again, I just want to say that a little bit about my history alongside that is that I moved back to New York in 2009. A member of my Quaker meeting, Purchase Friends meeting, was a woman named Margaret Lechner. Margaret gave a talk at our holiday meeting about doing AVP in El Salvador. And I was completely enchanted. So I started the program, and I'll explain that right now. It's a good time to explain that. If you are interested in participating in the Alternatives to Violence Project, if you are interested in, as our manual says, we believe that a life lived with dignity and self-respect and the opportunity for self-actualization is the birthright of every person. We believe that only when this birthright is made real for all of us will we have a just and peaceful world. If you're ready to make that step, and I'm always reminded of the Martin Luther King quote, you know, injustice anywhere is against anyone is a justice against all, injustice against all. I'm always reminded of that that quote here for us. Okay. If you're ready to make that step, and you can just Google www.avpnewyork, and you will find out about workshops happening. Here's how it works. First thing you do is you sign up for a basic workshop. Okay, a basic workshop. There are workshops happening all around our communities. Okay. And you learn all the basic tenets of building community, developing communication skills, becoming a problem solver, examining the roots of violence. And then a very exciting part of that workshop, which I always love, is you do some role plays to actually try out these skills on site. After you've had that experience, and it's a life-changing experience, which I had in the fall of 2010, my first AVP workshop, you go on to an advanced, sometimes we call it a level two workshop. And in this workshop, the group decides with the facilitators to choose one topic that they will explore more deeply. Mine happened to be fear, but some of them are about power, some of them are about anger, some of them are about hope. I mean, there could be a lot of different positive and or negative difficult situations or positive attributes you want to develop. After you take the level two workshop, you move on to what we call training for facilitators, or T for F. And there you get to try out what it would be like to be a facilitator. Let me tell you a little bit about facilitating for AVP. We never facilitate alone. There's always a group of people. It's always, the group is always designed to include all participants as learners, all participants as teachers, okay? We look at things like building community, looking for the good in each person, and learning by example through our work together in terms of how this works. And the key process, the key factor that we talk about, and we'll talk about this in a moment, is called transforming power. The experience of a power greater than ourselves that allows change to happen in seemingly unchangeable situations. So before I get back to Shirley and we go into this in a little more depth, just to let you know, I took my three workshops over the course of 9 months. And as soon as I became a facilitator, my friend Margaret whisked me off to El Salvador and I started doing workshops in Spanish. And I have never looked back, you know, ever since. So I'm going to, that's enough about me, about that particular history in terms of how it's come about. And Shirley, I want to just, you've already joined us and that's wonderful. Are there other things? I think I asked you for three things we ought to know about you that we don't know yet. What did you think about that?
Well, you already hit the first one, Quaker. I try to let the light in me guide me in all things. And third, knowing that the same light that is in me is in every person means that I can't dismiss anyone, which is challenging to live out. But it's a challenge I enjoy. I take on, and it helps me grow and live into who I want to be.
And some people are hard not to dismiss. I know that Sam Keen, who's a sort of a mentor of mine, he did a lot of work in the men's movement, has a phrase that says, whom do I turn into non-people, right? Because you label somebody and they become a non-person, and a lot of incarcerated people feel like non-people, right? As soon as you do that, you can dismiss them. You can treat them poorly, you know, and any oppressed group has had that experience of being turned into a non-person. So I'm curious, tell me about your first AVP workshop.
Oh my goodness. Would have been 20 years ago now, inside Auburn prison. I actually don't remember that one. I remember the advanced, and I remember then going back and facilitating my first workshop in Auburn. That was really challenging. But the whole program continues to be transformative for me, in that every workshop is different because every group is different. All the participants shift every time. And so learning from each other, it's such a valuable experience of, but over the course of 3 days, you really, and talking and experiencing, it's experiential. All of our exercises are experiential. And so there's not a lot of sitting, there's no lecturing. It's a lot of group work and a lot of exchanging from the heart. And that's what makes it transformative, because we're all being vulnerable together. And that's what makes it, we work hard to make it a brave space, a space that people can step into and feel brave enough to reveal things there that they wouldn't otherwise feel comfortable revealing. And that's done through our community agreements of looking for the good in one another, looking to affirm each other, no put downs, no interrupting, no volunteering, only volunteering yourself, not anyone else, observing confidentiality, having the right to pass. All of these things enable us, hopefully, there's no guarantee, but enable us to step in and be vulnerable.
Thank you. Wow. Yes, indeed. And just to let people know, these groups can be anywhere from 8 to 20 people, you know, including the facilitators. One of the first exercises we do is to create what's called an affirmation name. Okay, usually you take the first letter of your first name and you create an affirmative adjective that goes before it. So mine is Jazzy John. I've been Jazzy John for a long time because I'm a musician, and I also like to look at life as jazz, as improv, you know, in that particular way. Shirley, you want to share your adjective name?
Absolutely. I'm Secure Shirley. I have been Sure Shirley, and I like that because my mom used to call me Sure Sure, and so it kind of took me back to my childhood. but I didn't grow to like it because I was often too sure of myself, and it wasn't something I wanted to affirm in myself. And so someone at a workshop said she wanted to be Secure Susan because she'd spent a large part of her life being insecure. And I said, okay, that can fit.
Gotcha. So Courtney, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you're going to pick an adjective for yourself that starts with the letter C that you would describe yourself as, what would you say?
Can it be a K too? I don't know. This is tough.
It certainly can be a K.
Goodness gracious. So it has to be alliterative. I don't know. I can't think of much. Captivating?
Yes.
Captivating, yeah. Courtney?
Yeah.
I don't know how much that would help people who are incarcerated. But.
It's really about helping them get a glimpse at you and you taking that risk of picking an adjective that lets them know a little bit about you. And the magic of the workshop is, in the beginning, people are like, okay, I'm going to see how this goes. You know, I'm not so sure about this or whatever. And 3 days later, you know, you're like blown away, like, don't leave. This cannot end. I can't deal with leaving the workshop now. You know, so many good things. So
I guess you can kind of grow into your name the way Shirley did.
Yes.
Yeah.
It might not really be something you think you are, but maybe.
Right. Exactly. It can be something you aspire to be. And so that gives you freedom. And also we're looking to build our skills and affirmation throughout. And I think we often have difficulty affirming ourselves, especially out loud. And so this is a way of, so what we do is during the workshop, we have to say our adjective name, our affirmation name before we speak throughout the workshop. And so you get to hear yourself and others referring to you by that name throughout the 3 days. And it just becomes a natural thing.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, it is. And and affirming yourself when you're incarcerated is super important, but it's not just about, it's not about helping people. It's about helping ourselves. And the community workshops are just as, you know, everybody, I think everybody needs ABP. That's my, I'm an evangelist for ABP, everybody.
Can I ask a quick question to Shirley? Shirley, can you talk a little bit more about these prisons you're going into? Because, gentle listeners, these are not county jails. These are the highest level of incarceration. Can you share with us a little bit about these facilities?
Yeah, thank you. Elmira Prison is a maximum security. I also go into Attica, where the prison uprising happened so many years ago now. And I have gone into Auburn before. So those are some of the toughest prisons in the country, actually. But you wouldn't know it in looking at being with the people who are incarcerated. They come with open hearts. It's a voluntary program. They have to be there because they want to be there. They can't be required to be there. No one is forcing them. If they come and say that their counselor, they don't want to be there, and their counselor suggested that they come, and then we can say, you can go. You don't have to be here. So that's super important. The other thing that makes it work is that the folks who come, who participate, can all become facilitators. So they can take it on and make it their own. And this is super important. We need the voices of people who are incarcerated leading these workshops, because they have the life experience. And so the participants can then relate to them. We have usually teams of between 3 and 5 people. And sometimes there's just one outside volunteer coming in, and 4 incarcerated leaders, facilitators. So that's super important. There's a lot of clanging that happens when the gates close behind you. Well, a friend of mine who goes into Attica with me counted, I think, 16 clangs before we got to the school building. So it's a lot. It can be intimidating, but really people are people. The guards are people. The people who come to the workshops are people, you know, everybody, you can relate on some level to everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Shirley. And Courtney, just to let you and everyone know, we AVP began in prisons, and we still do a variety of prison workshops. We also have community workshops and students at Stony Brook. Anyone in the Stony Brook community can find a community workshop they could join. I've also done AVP in schools, and we're actually working now to develop more widespread school programs, adapting the 3-day workshop format to school schedules to allow, especially middle schoolers, because we're finding that middle schoolers need a set of skills because they're beginning to make decisions that are going to have life-changing consequences. You know, that's a time when really we want to gather them in and make that happen. And with regard to doing work on the inside, Shirley, I am 36 days and counting waiting for my Sing Sing application. But the coordinator there was very clear. She said probably will take 60 days. So I'm still very hopeful. And so I will be joining a group of people from AVP New York that will begin going inside Sing Sing, which is not too far from where I live in the Bronx. Shirley, how would you talk about transforming power? This is at the heart of what we believe happens. And this is going back to natural alternatives. Alternatives present themselves when we open our hearts, minds, and spirits to opportunities. But we have to believe there's something there. We call it transforming power. Right. What would you say, Shirley?
So yes, there is a power that exists in the universe. It's inside of every person. And it's in the space between us as well. And if I'm open to it, I can be changed. It changes me. And I can have faith that it can change. It's there to change other people as well. And so there are certain things we can do to help make ourselves available to transforming power. We can expect the best of a situation. We can learn to respect ourselves. We can learn to, once we respect ourselves, we can begin to care about others, and more than just respect ourselves, but actually love ourselves. And then we can care about others. We can think before reacting, and we can ask for a nonviolent path. So asking the universe in the midst of conflict, asking the universe for a nonviolent path, what is available to me in this moment? And not thinking that it's got to be some big thing, you know, transferring power is available all the time. And so in the smallest things, it can be a smile instead of a frown. It can be a greeting, a kind greeting. There are a lot of things we can do to allow transforming power to work through us, that allowing that to happen can change a situation.
Yes. And it changes the situation in ways that we might never have considered as being possibilities.
Right.
And that's where in the workshop, when we do this work together, and people start to share about themselves, it's all experiential, so that people go, whoa, that worked for you. Wow, I can imagine that working for me. Or one of my favorite exercises is something called hassle lines, where there's two lines of people and they're divided into pairs, and there's a conflict situation. You know, you're a parent and the coach isn't putting your kid in to play enough in the soccer game, or you're on the inside and somebody made a comment about your work in the kitchen or whatever that might be. And you watch people go through this, and you watch as the person trying to incorporate transforming power into this discussion. And I've watched people's faces just light up when they came up with something, came out of their mouth. And then we stop and we process the exercise and they go, whoa, I would never have ever said that before, but clearly this would work, you know. I want to ask about one more thing, Shirley. Talk about light and livelies, which I think is a brilliant part of this program.
It is brilliant. And actually, AVP, it's been shown that AVP has the qualities of what we need in order to heal from trauma. And part of that are the light and lively. So building community enough to be able to laugh in a fun way, not a put down way, but a fun way, laugh together, move together. So light and livelies are a way to take us up in energy level, to release energy. So a lot of times the exercises can be, challenge us and have to go deep and we need a release from that. So the structure of the workshop is a gathering, an exercise, a light and lively, an exercise, a closing, an evaluation and a closing. So we insert the light and livelies between in the middle of a session, which is about 2 hours, 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And so it raises the energy level. It gets us up. It gets us laughing. Laughter is important. It's a release valve for us.
That's great.
It's a community builder.
Amen. Amen. And you've watched people that were really deeply involved in an emotion, in a conflict, in something they're working on, and then they're just laughing hysterically, you know, laughing till you cry, that sort of thing, in terms of how that works. So there's a structure to it. When you are a facilitator, we do a lot of prep work, a lot of team building, we call it, before the workshop begins. I'm looking forward to working on the inside, because I know I'm going to go up on a Thursday now and have team building with the inside facilitators. And then when we hit the ground on Friday, you know, it'll all be going. So there's also, and Shirley, Secure Shirley just mentioned this, there is tremendous research. There's a guy named John Shuford, who's a psychologist. He's one of a number of people who have been doing research on looking at AVP through a trauma lens, okay, and finding that AVP is effective and the trauma issue is important because sometimes people get triggered in a workshop. That's why there's always more than one facilitator. So oftentimes when I've been on a team and I can see that somebody got triggered by an exercise and went deep, there are three of us or four of us as facilitators. We can spend some time with that person, do some healing, do some other work for that to happen. So I know we're nearing the end of our show, and I'll make a quick plug for the Radiothon. Again, you got all that information, WUSB, here we go. Donate, go to the website, WUSB.FM going forward. But Shirley, just as a reminder, if somebody wants to look for a workshop, how do they do that?
Yeah, so there are a number of websites available and listings of workshops. So we are offering community workshops on Zoom that seem to be quite successful. I am reticent to get involved in that just because I know the in-person is so valuable. But you can find them on www.avpusa.org. There's a Get Involved tab at the top. The AVP New York website, avpny.org, has listings of both on Zoom and in person in New York State workshops. And then avp.international is the international website. It's a funny, you just type in avp.international and you'll get the international website. So you can find workshops all over the world. Yeah. We are in more than 50 countries.
Yes. Yes. I've had the opportunity.
On six continents. Sorry.
That's right. Right. We don't have any AVP on Antarctica yet.
No, not yet. Not yet.
There we are. Okay. That's great. And just to let you know, I've been involved on all three levels, the local, the state, the USA, and the international. And our international gathering was in Ireland in 2014. And we visited a prison where AVP had been incorporated into the program in the prison. And the level of violence in the prison had dropped precipitously in terms of physical violence between incarcerated people.
Yeah, and that's really great when it takes on, it becomes part of the culture, becomes part of the prison culture. So if there's an altercation, if people are getting ready to fight, somebody can say AVP, and then it just diffuses the whole, that's what we hope for. That's what we want, that kind of infiltration.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's where the more people from on the inside that get opportunities to participate in these workshops, then become facilitators themselves. The formerly incarcerated people I've worked with who have been facilitators on the inside are some of the most remarkable people I've ever met. And as they tell their story of their own life changes of how transforming power operated inside them, it's so clear to me that this works and that it works well.
Yeah, so and it's really great when the formerly incarcerated can go back inside and do workshops, facilitating workshops inside prisons, sometimes in the same prison where they were.
And that must be quite a remarkable experience to have that happen in that way. So listeners out there, there are many, many ways to get involved in this program. I cannot think of any time where we haven't needed this program, especially as we're moving into the holiday season. Ironically, what we understand also is whereas the holidays tend to be a season of, you know, light and joy and happiness, they're also a time when there's increased domestic violence, increased difficulty for people who somehow do not feel connected or in the spirit or able to move forward in that particular way. So let us know, look on those websites, find a workshop, and that would be just great.
I have something to add. So even if there isn't a workshop scheduled to happen near you, if you have 10 people, 8 people who are ready to commit 18 hours, 16 hours to in-session time, and you put together a schedule, we can get facilitators to you. So if you have 8 or 10 people ready to take a workshop, a basic level workshop, we can make that happen. You just call the office number 315-604-7940. Talk to me.
That's great. That's just wonderful advice. Courtney, any other questions?
Well, Shirley, can you share with us now, are these prisons, the ones you talked about, are they, those are men's prisons or?
Yeah, thank you. So we are in, we have programs in, right now, I think we're in about 10 or 12 men's and 3 women's. So Albion, Taconic, and Bedford Hills are our maximum and medium security women's prisons. So yeah, we're in both.
Yeah, Bedford Hills is pretty close to us there in Westchester County.
Right. Taconic is right across the street. Right.
Then, minimum security.
So Taconic is medium, and then Bedford is maximum.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maximum, yeah.
Thank you for correcting me. Now, I mean, if you had to sort of pick, maybe it's not really fair with only 3 minutes left to say, what's the best thing that ever happened to you in one of these sessions?
Oh, well, the best thing is using what I've learned. So I'll just give a TP story. So I grew up in a family where put downs was part of our culture, the family culture of, we did it for fun. But you know, put downs are put downs, and they're not helpful. And, so my mom and I, would get into this habitual kind of going down the path, going down this not a good path. And one time something in me shifted because I was open to TP, and I had been taking, I think I had taken some workshops, and I said, okay, let me just try this. Open myself to a nonviolent path and shifted my response. And she immediately was, she was right there with me, you know. All she needed was a little opening, and then we were best friends and best, you know, just really able to be truly supportive of one another and everything. So really shifted for the next 30 years. We had wonderful.
That's so amazing. I mean, it's just that one little thing you do. And it sounds to me like this program provides a toolkit that you could kind of use for any set of interactions in your life.
It's true. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I'll give an example that happened at a workshop. I was in Palestine. I was in the city of Hebron, and we had 24 school social workers, and there were 5 facilitators. 2 of us spoke English. I had a translator. And it wasn't during one of the intifadas, one of the uprisings, but it was around that time. In Hebron, is a very, very tense place in Palestine in terms of access to the city and access to Abraham's tomb is there. There's a lot. There's a settlement right in the middle of the city. And they were struggling because one of the role plays that they designed was about being with a student and showing up at a protest against an Israeli detention of someone. And the student picks up a rock, and what do? And we wound up having this remarkable discussion about for them and crying and just realizing how hard it's going to be, but how important it's going to be to break that cycle of violence. And these people were courageous and wonderful in their willingness to go forward. So every time I participate in a workshop, I get so much more out of it. So Secure Shirley, how delightful to have this time with you. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. This AVP can be your holiday gift to yourself. One quick thing, don't stay away for lack of money. We will help make this possible for you. There is a suggested donation, but we will make this possible for you. Just takes bringing yourself and your heart to this process, and we'll help to make it happen.
And we have many, many prison programs. So you don't pay anything to be part of a prison program. All of our prison programs could use more people. So coming in as a participant and becoming a facilitator.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Hope the holiday December is a joyful season for all of you as the light fades and then returns with the winter solstice. Thank you, Courtney, for being our host today. Thank you again, Shirley, my friend Shirley Way, joining us. I'm John Scardina, and thanks for being part of Natural Alternatives.
Stay tuned for Rockin' Irations here on WUSB.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Piccadilly Circus. Next stop, Victoria Station. Stand clear of the doors, please. Mind the gap.
You got to mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
You got to mind your head.
Mind your head.
Mind that diversion in the road ahead. What was left has now gone right.
Now gone right.
You got to mind the gap,
mind the gap tonight.
You say you hurt. You say you feel. You say your soul ain't doing right. But where's the joy that's in your heart? You got to mind the gap tonight. You got to mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
You got to mind your head.
Mind your head.
Mind that diversion in the
mind
road,
the road ahead.
What was
what
left
was left
has now gone
now
right.
Gone right.
You got to mind the
mind
gap,
the gap tonight.
Now life is short and life is sweet. it can drag on without a beat. Pick up your pulse, pick up your feet. Don't fall.